Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm a little bit frustrated this morning. That's okay, isn't it? Frustration can be a good thing because frustration can motivate you, can spur you on, can spur you to action. A little bit frustrated today. Maybe that's not the right word. Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And I continue to be amazed at the number of people that are tuning in and catching us on replay and doing whatever. You all would have to admit, you know, I did a video yesterday on Brighteon, and the second half of my Brighteon show was the promo video that I do for our huddles when I can't make it. If you guys haven't seen it, I'll make it available for you. And somebody emailed me and says, man, you're hard to swallow. And, you know, I kind of chuckled at that because I really am. And you know, the reason I think the reason I'm hard to swallow is I'm not what we're used to in what Matt Tuella would call a church man. I'm not a church man. I'm not one of those, for lack of a better, I still got rough edges on me. All right. People call me Pastor Dave. So don't call me Pastor Dave. I'm a coach. I know pastor. No offense, but I'm not real good. I am really good, by the way, at rubbing backs and soothing hurt egos. I am good at that. But there's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place. If you guys want to get comforted, then go listen to Charles Stanley. Go listen to Chuck Swindoll. Yeah, there's a multitude of programs that you can go watch. And I would just say the same thing to everybody. Listen to what I say, not the way I say it. Say, yeah, but coach, they yelling and well, go someplace else. Go watch somewhere else. Listen to what I say, not the way that I say it. And I believe that the things that we're doing here, can somebody explain to me, maybe there's some out there, can anybody name another ministry, I guess that's what we would call us, that's doing what we're doing, that's actually engaging in the culture? Anybody know of any that's doing that? I mean, I can go through the internet. I can show you all kinds of wonderful teachers and wonderful guys telling us what's wrong and making great videos and doing podcasts, but there's no action to them. And that's one of my greatest frustrations. In fact, here on Pearl Harbor Day, by the way, December 7th, 1941, you think our kids know it's Pearl Harbor today? Anybody think our kids know it's Pearl Harbor today? Pearl Harbor Day? Think they know that this is a day that would live in infamy?
No,
I would say they probably don't, right? Because one of the things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to cut off us from our traditions. They want to cut us off. So if I hadn't said this, most of you probably wouldn't even have known it was December 7th, 1941, a day we would live in infamy. But it is. And the problem we run into is, I got a lot of great stuff I want to share with you today. I want to encourage you. Are y'all looking at me? The Lord needs you, folks. He needs you. And in order for you to become as effective as the Lord wants you to be, there's no nice way to say this, okay? You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to do things that you really don't want to do. You're going to have to do things that you really don't feel comfortable doing. Because the enemy is 100% full bore on the assault of everything righteous in this country.
Amen.
Your heart has been pricked to the point that you, can you explain to me, why do you get up every morning? Why do you get up every morning and come and watch this? Some of you watch it on delay. Some of you get up every morning, make yourself a cup of coffee, and sit down and gather in this. And you would have to admit this. I would think, Leslie, I would think most of you would have to admit this, that when this show's over at the end of the day, you are more spiritually equipped than when the show began.
Amen, Coach.
And then it becomes, what do you do with it? How are you personally going to walk that out? And I believe that we're in a time and we're in a place where we have to, folks, we got to get out of our comfort zone. We have to. And I was having a discussion last night with Michelle. By the way, I fell asleep at 8 o'clock last night. I had the most beautiful sleep. Thank God for sleep. Huh? So I woke up today fresh and we're raring to go after a long weekend. But I was having a discussion with Michelle again about do. You know, she's organizing the ladies' event this weekend at Sky High, and she's really excited about it. My wife just wants everything to be so perfect for everybody, and she's going out of her way to do that. And she's feeling the stress of that. And I said, look, honey, this isn't, don't let this be stressful. This is a gift. This is your gift. Exercise your gift. It's going to be good. But there are a lot of you out there who have gifts that you're not exercising. You're really not. And it's my job as a good coach to try to get you in the game and try to train, equip, mobilize you for the work of the ministry. This isn't supposed to be a spectator thing that we're doing here. It's an audience participation. It's the exact opposite of what's going on in most churches. That's why some of you are drawn back here. Because you go to your church and the pastor preaches and you go home and watch a football game. You wait a week and you go back and do it again, do it all over again. We look around and everything's falling apart and we don't know why everything's going falling apart. So we go to church on Sunday and the pastor preaches. I go home and I watch a football game. And I struggle through life again and come back, go back in church. Not you guys, but that's where most people, folks, that's where most people live their Christian life. You do understand that, don't you? That's where they live it. It's through conditioning. It's been done to us on purpose. We are conditioned. Or as someone said to me, television programs. They're called programs because why? They program us. They program us to think a certain way. By the way, friends, you're programmed at your church. And the old adage that you often hear in regards to sports is that you will know a team by its coach, or you will know a coach by its team. The two go hand in hand. If you want to understand why your congregation is falling apart, look at the coach. And if you're sitting there wondering why the coach isn't doing a good job, look at you. Look at the players. Are you coming to workouts? Are you doing what he's asking you to do? Are you training every day? Well, that's why football coaching jobs come open all the time. That's why they paid that guy from Notre Dame to be a traitor to his other guys and for $18 million go. Because why? He showed a history and a propensity to get people on the team to perform. It's about performance. We don't even talk about it in church. Performance? Yeah. What if you had to go back to church? What if you went back to church on Sunday and when you went into the church, there was somebody standing at the church and you had to hand them a list of things that you had done for the gospel that week. And some guy went down, checked them off, said, oh, sorry, you missed this. Sorry, I can't come in. What if we made the church a real training center where you had to earn your way onto the field? Would that change our perspective? No, it wouldn't change our perspective because we would just create mega churches where you don't have to do anything except go there and sit, sing songs, and raise your hands and wave a flag and dance around the altar when the band gets playing. Somebody give me a thumbs up because I'm right on it. I'm right on it. And you go to church and you're not motivated to do anything. If you are motivated to do anything, you're motivated to do it within the church, you're not motivated to do anything outside the church, and you're certainly not motivated. Your pastor probably will get jealous if you tell him that you're going to go work with another ministry. That'll probably really make him. Somebody say amen. Just so I know I got a friend out there, right? So that's why. That's why you're here.
Amen, Coach.
That's why you're here.
Amen.
And you want to do something, but you don't know what to do. Really, we don't know what to do. And you'd be honest with me. There are naysayers at every corner. There's always, instead of Christians being full of hope, full of joy, full of encouragement, there are always naysayers at every turn in Christianity. There's always a Debbie Downer there telling you why you can't do it and why that won't work and why Christians don't do that. And it's always the ones that ain't doing a damn thing. So it always is. So my conversation I had with Chad yesterday, we were just doing a little bit of it. You know, Chad, thank God for Chad. He drove all the way from Dallas. No, Dallas. Well, south of Dallas, north of Dallas, south of Dallas, Moody. He drove all the way up there to be with up in Missouri. Up there's Kevin Van Story and that thing that Kevin did. And think about old Bob drove all that way from. It matters to Chad. He's putting time and effort and energy into it. It matters to him. Because it matters to him, he invests time and effort and energy into it. So the question on the table today, or I'm getting ready to throw on the table today, does it matter? How much does it matter to? How much does the salvation of America and a nation for our children and our grandchildren and the advancement of the kingdom of God, how much does that matter to us? Because your action will prove how much it matters. It will show. What did you do today to advance the kingdom of God? If we were to start making a list, checking it twice, trying to find out who's naughty and nice, we would find out that most of us really aren't doing a whole lot to advance the kingdom. And why are we not advancing the kingdom? It was amazing when when we went to the event in Neosho or Joplin. I think I was in Joplin. And thanks again, Kevin, for bringing that whole thing together. I started out the program. I says, listen, what are we going to do? We now know that all politics are local, that everything that's happening, the only thing, we can't control Washington, D.C. We can't control Congress. We can't control the Senate. We don't even know if our vote counts. We don't even know. We can't control all that stuff, but we can control stuff right here. We can. We can make a difference right here in our community. Now, here's part of the problem. Not everybody there was from the community. Some guys had driven 2.5 hours to be there. Where were the local people? I said this to my wife when I got home. She said, how'd it go? I said, went really, really good. But I said, really, the sad thing is Kevin doesn't really have much of a team around him. He has a team, but they're not around him. So how do we build a team around us? So I said, as I began to speak, I said, what do we have to do? Anybody have any ideas on what it is we have to do? And you know what, friends? For the most part, there was silence. There's silence. So I'm going to crack that open here today. And again, I want to hear a story. I want to hear a plan. I don't want to hear your life's plan. What should we, in the queue, those of us right here in this huddle, what should we be doing locally together that could begin to have a huge, huge impact? I'm going to talk about Celebrate Freedom Day. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But where do we begin? If we're going to win locally, where do we begin? And what does that look like? And how do we do that? Because I can promise you this, friends. I think it was Ohio Brett that brought this subject up to me. It really made sense. And he said, I guess you would call me. See, I don't think I'm far right. They would call me far right only because I believe the Bible. Believing the Bible makes you far right. Sort of believing the Bible makes you in the middle. You agree with me? Sort of believing it. And then you have the far left who are Luciferians and they hate it. And then you have the near left, which are people who sort of believe the Bible in a different way as the people on the near right. The people on the near right and the people on the near left, for the most part, are the majority. That is mom and pop America. But they have us divided through politics, right? Some of the people on the near left are God-fearing, church-going Christians. They're Christians. They're not for this Joe Biden agenda. They're Christians. But they've been convinced that they're Democrats. And then over here on the right, the near right, they basically believe the same things for the most part. They want the same things for their children that the people on the near left want. That's what they call the silent majority. And they've done a great job of turning the silent majority against one another. And Brett said, listen, the battle's not on the left or on the right. The battle's it's in the middle. It's in the middle here. This is where we win. But we can't win if we make it about politics and religion and Trump. We're not going to win because these people over here on the near left, they don't like Trump. They don't understand fundamental religion. They don't understand. They like to pick and choose it. But for the most part, as I often say, even these guys here on the near left, they don't want their son being homecoming queen. They're on our side. But we, how do we bridge that gap? Because friends, I'm telling you, that's the issue each and every one of you in this queue are dealing with. How do we do that? How do we reach across that aisle? How do we eliminate the aisle? The big mass in the middle. We have the ability to control everything. God-fearing people. Listen, church-going people, even lost church-going people, unsaved church-going people are, for the most part, on our side. And we, born-again, deeply committed Christians, we're on their side. We're on their side. We're not against them. And so we look what's happened in politics. What happens in politics? The left gets in control, and they take everything left. And the people on the left, the near left, they ain't going to go over to Trump. They hate Trump. But yet they support everything Trump wants to do. Do you see the confusion we're dealing with? How do we bridge that gap? How do we move beyond that? That's why the Celebrate Freedom Day is so important. That's why we don't want Trump flags. We don't want MAGA flags. It's not about Trump. We want those other people in our community who want a good, righteous, holy, moral. Yeah, they really do, friends. They really do want a moral America. They're on our sides. They're not against us. They're not against us. We got to pull the Trump flags down. We got to pull the MAGA flags down because they are trained to hate us. They're trained to hate us. They don't realize we're on their team. They want to be free. They want the government to leave them alone. They want to be free. That's all they want. And 50% of them are voting with the lefties. You with me? Angie, come on in. First one this morning. First hand up this morning was Angie Ryan. Go get him, Angie.
Well, good morning, Coach. It's good to see you this morning. I haven't been in a meeting for the last few days. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for coming in.
Awesome. So, Coach, we're kind of speaking my language here, and I know, you know, some of you know who I am and what I do. But I believe with all my heart that all politics really is local, and you'll hear that a lot. But what you don't hear is how to do that. And basically, politics is for the average citizen is just doing your civic duty. And what that means is you build up a team of people around you in your county, and you do your civic duty.
Angie, how do we do that, Angie?
Well, I have six counties going, Coach, so let me tell you how I do that.
Okay.
So what we do is I have built teams up in six different counties right now, and what we're doing is we meet every week, and they are learning how to go into their local government meetings. You have to show up if you're going to be effective for change. And I tell everybody, you know, if you don't show up, you're not going to know what's broken, and if you don't know what's broken, you can't fix it. And so part of the mental game is recognizing that your complacency by sitting at home and complaining about the problem is not going to fix it. You've got to learn how to make your civic duty your lifestyle. This is something we should have been doing all along.
It causes discomfort, doesn't it, Angie?
Absolutely. The first time people start going to their city council meetings or their township trustee meetings or school board meetings, or more importantly, starting to connect into the boards of election meetings, which we already know there's a huge problem with. If we don't get voter election integrity under control, we will never have a fair election again, and we will never be able to trust the system again. So the only way I know to fix that is to show up and be involved in that. You've got to start going to your board of election meetings. They have them every month in your county. You have to go to them, and you have to meet the people who are in charge of that system, and you've got to build up a relationship with them. You have to become a poll worker. If you've never been or active at the polls, if you've never worked the polls, you need to be a poll worker in your area or be even willing to go outside of that area. And if you're not involved, again, if you don't show up, you're not going to know what is broken.
Hang on a second, Angie, because I'm thinking as you're talking here. So if a guy like me were thinking about running for office, you know what my biggest obstacle is? I don't have any idea the central committee, how all that. I don't have any idea. And just a regular old guy like me, I don't have any idea how I would run for office. Not really. Go ahead, Angie.
So that's awesome. So how you run for office and what central committee looks like, you're touching on three of my big top things. When I first started doing these about a year and a half ago, my top three things for us to get involved in, conservative Christian people to get involved in, was the county GOP party, the boards of election, and then I had to add schools because of all the CRT crap coming out of them. So if I did nothing else, if I got people moving every month into those three areas, then we can do it. And what I do is we learn what it means to be on central committee and what that looks like. I have county maps that I have mounted. We literally are strategizing. I have five people in Fairfield County that are going to be filling central committee seats this next election cycle.
So let me back up, Angie. How do you find them? How do you find those five people to come to you? Where did you find them?
Everybody wants to be on a winning team. So I start out with people that are very motivated and are already kind of doing something, but they were in their own little worlds doing it. And I had a general meeting, and then I have them meeting every week, and their job is to go out and find one more soul every week.
Uh-huh.
And do it. And that's, you know, I give them a job to do. And I tell people, if you want a job to do, then you come talk to me. I'm going to give you something to do. Because most people just want to be told where to go, what to do, and how to do it. And I can help you with that, but I can't actually go and do it for you. Amen. So I can equip you to go and do that, right? And to go and be involved in those things. But if you're not showing up, it's not. And we need. And this is, again, the long game. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we're not going to be able to take this over in a year or 5 years or a decade or even in maybe my lifetime. But maybe what we can do is we can begin to kind of halt the ship from where it's going now and ride it on the right course if we get enough people involved and working cohesively and teaching that to our children, modeling that behavior for our kids. Grandkids.
Yes.
I take my oldest son, who's my special needs son, he comes to like all my meetings with me. He loves these things. He loves being involved in them, and he comes and he's my helper, and he's really awesome with things like that. But take your kids with you to these meetings. Get your community organizing meetings together. Get your civic meetings together. And it can start with as little as five people and grow it from there. But one of the things you have to do is it has to be every week, because there's too many things happening that are having rapid speed that if you're only meeting in a group once a month, you're missing it. And my meetings are not political psychotherapy sessions. They're action groups. They're action meetings to get out and do something. And so it's wonderful. I have people going to county commissioners every week. They go to the school boards every month. They're going to the Board of Elections. My friend Audrey just posted a thing about the Board of Health meeting tomorrow. I mean, they're like talking like every day. They're talking about what's going on. Where can we go? What do we need to do?
People care, Angie. They care. They just don't know what to do. Is that what you're saying? People care.
They do. And what you have to do is, again, Coach, it's out of their comfort zones and they're not used to it. And I promise you, when you first start going to meetings, government meetings of any kind, you're going to walk in there with a notebook and a pen. You're going to sit midway up to the area there, wherever it is they're going to have you sit, and you're just going to sit down and you're just going to take notes for the first few months that you're there and try to get to know who all these players are at the table, where they've got an R and a D behind their name, make eye contact with them. At the end of the meeting, if you have questions, run up to the front of that table and have a conversation with somebody that you made eye contact with and say, hey, can I ask you a question? Most of the time, people are very willing to answer your question, and they want to help you understand what's going on, right? And that's how you learn. You don't have to say anything when you go in.
Angie, let me tell a story. This is true story. I've shared this before. I remember I had a meeting with my congressman. The only time I've ever had a meeting with my congressman, I went into his office, sat down, had about a half hour meeting with him, Pat Teaberry. And at the conclusion of the meeting, he said to me, Coach Dave, thanks for coming. We never hear from you people.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly right. Again, you cannot be an agent of change if you are not present and accounted for. And so I keep telling everybody, make this your lifestyle. Make it every week. Get out from in front of your TVs. Take two or three evenings a week. Get out from in front of those TVs or your phones or whatever it is you're doing, and get out and start going and doing your civic duty and be involved in your local communities.
You know, my good buddy Coach Norm just texted me. He's an old football coach buddy of mine. You know what he said? He says, Coach, sounds like you have to be a great recruiter to be a good coach. Huh. Is that
imagine
ever
that.
It, huh? Huh?
When the queue is over, I'll put my email address in the queue. If you guys have any questions or you want some help with something, let me know. Again, I'm in Ross County, Perry County, Franklin County, Delaware County, and Fairfield County, and Hawking County. So if and I'm in there every week. So if you
amen.
Need something,
God bless you, Angie.
Let me know. I'll be more than happy to reach out and connect people in those areas and beyond. Okay.
So you guys hey, Spencer, if you could open up the chat, and we'll open up the chat real quick. Angie, put your contact information in the chat for us, will you?
I will absolutely do that. You guys have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks, Angie. God bless you. Thanks for golly. I feel awful. Convicted, not awful. I feel convicted. I really feel. Listen, folks. Listen to me. You cannot bail water and paddle at the same time. You can't do both. You can't do both. We got to plug the leak. Got to plug the leak. We can't get anywhere. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Angie, for popping in. You know, there's been groups and things around for a long time that have the basic knowledge that you just expressed, that it's local and you got to start with little teams locally and you got to build. You've got to build. And the difficulty that most of those groups and things have, and I experience it in the group that I'm working with, and I'd be the first to tell you the failure we're having is we haven't found the clue to building, recruiting, like Coach just said, the small little group yet. We've got people all over the country that want to do it. But like even here in Myrtle Beach, the people that agree with me on one area, they find something in my, you know, the people that I'm agreed with politically, they look and they see that I'm kind of segregated religiously because I've got a line I draw. I don't mess with people that don't deal with the truth. And therefore they don't hook up politically that strong because they don't want to let go of their religion.
Oh, I'm with you. Listen,
Angie, what I need is please put your thing in the chat. Because I would love to invite you. We have a national meeting tonight on the internet, like one of these groups. I would love to invite you to join us tonight at 8:30 Eastern time. And I'll send you the link to pop into the meeting.
Okay, yeah, do that. That's fine, Larry. I'll be happy to join in. And, yeah, just like I said, I'll help out anywhere I can. And, I'm kind of a motivator. I don't like to say I'm a cheerleader, for crying out loud, but I do like to motivate people to get out and get off.
All right, let's finish it up after the show on that.
I've got to leave before the show is over, but I need her email address there, Chad, please.
Okay.
It's in the message room.
Okay, I want to do two things. First of all, Candace Keller, get ready. I want you to come in. I see your names in there. Hang on, I'm going to ask you something here in a second. But Chad, something you told me yesterday in the conversation, Chad, you actually call people. Is that right, Chad?
That's correct.
Explain that.
Okay, well, every day I try to send an email or a phone call. Just visit with people. Just say, hey, how's it going? You need anything? You all right? Do anything? We'd like to have you plugged in. You know, we're meeting again, blankety blank time, whatever, you know, because, you know, if you don't have a personal interest in these people, then, you know, I should say these people, but if we don't have an personal interest in each other, then, I mean, what are we trying to do? We're being fake. So
you got to let them know they're important to the team, right, Chad? They're important to the team. Bob Havenstripe matters. Bob Roy matters. Bobby Lee matters. Brian Cunningham matters. Carla Joe, you matter. Cheryl, you matter. Christine, you matter. Claudine, you're part of the team. You matter. We need you. John Barnett, we need you. Where are you? Mike, we need you. Right, folks. Let's see. This being part of a team is a two-way thing. You can't just go away and separate and hide in your house and wait on a phone call from somebody. It has to be relational. We're not good at this stuff. We're not good at it. Let me call. Let me get Candace in if I can, because Candace is doing everything. We had Candace on our show a few months ago. Candace, what are you running into? How do we better do what we're trying to do? Can you come in here a second?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you talking about Central Committee this morning. I've actually had good success with kind of a crazy idea that I had. But I would literally print off we have 244 precincts in my county. Our Central Committee, like most counties, is just a train wreck. So I would just get a bunch of my friends together for lunch or something at a restaurant. And we would pour over these walking lists one at a time because, you know, your circle of influence is much bigger than you think it is. And we would just look at the names of people to see if we knew anybody. And virtually every one of us would know one or two people in each, you know, precinct is just a neighborhood. And most of us live in small towns. And of course, for me, it was almost all people that I knew from church, you know, that were Christians, conservatives. That's who you hang with. And I have my precinct here, or my district here in Butler County, we're divided into seven regions. So my region of Middletown, where I live, had 36 seats. This is about 10 years ago. And we only had like 10 seats filled. And I thought, what is this about? I was pretty new. And we filled up all 36 seats with the cavalry. And, you know, and we filed like 5 minutes before the filing deadline. I go in with a big stack of petitions, and the party completely lost their minds. And we were able, it's like this lady said here a minute ago, it takes the time to do it. But we did have enough people that we stopped endorsements. We couldn't actually get which I don't even believe in endorsements anyway, from county parties prior to the primary. But anyway, we did stop a lot of endorsements, and that worked really well.
So Candace, what happened then is the 10 people that were running the Central Committee, selecting the candidates, endorsements, money, all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden 20 new people come in and they lost their power. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what happened. And literally we were kind of, you know, I'm a bit of an event planner, and this is funny. We did this one night. We were getting a new auditor that was just horrible. And so I rented a bus and fed everybody dinner. And we came in on a bus, and they got off the bus, and the office holders were freaking out. And sure enough, we did stop that endorsement. We stopped that one.
Okay, so stay with me here a second, Candace. So let's look at Ohio. You live in Ohio. You live in Southern Ohio. I live in Central Ohio. Angie lives kind of between us over in another direction. But the reality of it is we're sitting around, we're looking at what's going on in our governor election. And everybody is scared to death that Mike DeWine's going to get reelected as governor, and nobody wants him. But the Central Committee is locked up with people who want him. And so they're going to do everything they can to push DeWine through. Isn't that what we're facing?
That is absolutely what we're facing. And that's that state central committee meeting over the weekend, which was, again, a nightmare, was very helpful in the public seeing what is exactly going on up there. What a mess that was. They should be ashamed of what took place up there.
So that's going on everywhere. It's going on in every state, isn't it? It really is. So
it's a shock when you real. It's definitely going on in every county in Ohio. That's for sure. So it's time for the conservative cavalry to ride in. And you know what? Use those church relationships to get to take over. You can do it. It takes time. It's a lot of work. But believe me, they're lazy and they're not going to fool with it.
But Candace, religion and politics don't mix. You can't mix the sacred and the secular, right? You can't bring those two together.
You know what? During the Christmas season, my dad used to say this to me. Caesar's laying in bed one night thinking, how can I become fabulously rich? Oh, let me do a census and stir up the entire nation. Jesus was born during a time of political upheaval, and a political move got his parents to Bethlehem. So I have zero patience with people who tell me that politics and religion don't mix. They must not even own a Bible.
They couldn't possibly own a Bible. I couldn't agree with you. Well, thanks on short notice coming in here today, Candace, and helping us out. Let's go to quickly. Chad, your hands up. Do you want to come? Oh, I'm sorry, Chad. You sent me and said Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
Come on in, Neil.
Chad, I'm sorry, Coach. I want to go back to like your original question posed. What do we do to get organized locally? you have to get out and you got to go talk to people. I agree with Angela. Everything is just marvelous, but I want to go on a lower level. You have to have, even going back to your last week when you're talking about a good name, it's a generational thing. When a son goes up to a father and says, Dad, the reason we have such a good name in this community is because of you. That's because name above word above name. So right. When you have that established, then you can go and talk to people in the community. I know when Mary and I have events, we go and talk to the community. We ask, would you be able to help out in any way, whatever? And it's amazing the response we get from people. Yeah. But it's all a generational thing. You have to be established. I tell young guys that looking for a wife, I said, you can't be sitting in your mom and dad's basement bedroom waiting for some cable install to be a female to fall through the window, fall off the ladder, and fall through the floor. That's how you got a wife. You gotta get out there and you gotta talk to people. Nowadays with all these communications and there's not the personal relationships are built, and a good leader always delegates and encourages.
Amen.
The best leader in the world. So
that's what I'm trying to do today, Neil. I'm trying to do that today, man. I'm trying to delegate. Amen. Listen, bless you. Listen, I got some of you want to get in. Bear with me a second. Pull up. It says, "Does government corrupt people?" Pull that up. This is about a 4-minute video from my buddy Matt Chuella. Matt comes up with some great stuff. You can put it at about 1.5 if you want to, Spencer. You tell me that Matt Torella is wrong in this video. Put it at 1.5 and we'll get the point in here. Playback speed. There you go, babe. Matt Torella, does government corrupt people? Go ahead.
A question we need to ponder is, do the corrupt morals of the people change the laws of government? Or does the government change the laws to corrupt the morals of the people? Think of that. It's a question every person needs to consider. I pondered that question and I came to the conclusion it's the latter. The government changes law to corrupt the morals of the people. And I began to read history and saw how the Romans did it, saw how governments have done it down through the ages, and it's been recorded by historians. And I've seen it in my own life. I'm 60 years old now, and in my short life of 60 years, I've seen how the government has changed laws in order to corrupt the morals of the people. Look at the killing of the preborn, for example. No one voted for that. They brought it about through raw judicial power and imposed it on the people. And then it has a bad effect upon them. Look at sodomy, homosexuality. No one voted for homosexual marriage. In fact, 31 states made state constitutions to stop it, but through raw judicial power, they impose it upon the whole nation. So what happens is the people who are alive think it's wrong, but they don't take the action that's needed, so the subsequent generation thinks it's normal. And then it gets into society. And the whole of the nation continues in its decline in immorality and evil. The renowned sociologist Carl Zimmerman, in his magnum opus, Family and Civilization, which he wrote in 1947, addressed this question. Zimmerman predicted that America would soon see divorce for any reason or no reason at all, that we would soon see legalized abortion and rampant homosexuality. Zimmerman attributed the corruption of the citizens to the decline of the family. However, he details how forces external to the family brought about the demise of family. Specifically, he pointed to the changes in law and economics by the governments. Zimmerman wrote, quote, "Economic institutions antithetical or directly opposed to the family system arise with the aid and connivance of the state. And every good state knows that in order to strengthen the state, you have to weaken the family." E. Michael Jones, in his book Libido Dominandi, Sexual Liberation and Political Control, he states there, quote, "A man has as many masters as he has vices. By promoting vice, the regime promotes slavery, which can be fashioned into a form of political control. The political control includes a lack of interest in politics. A people consumed with their next quest to gratify themselves sexually is a people less interested in what the government is doing in its public policy making. The people have no interest in freedom or liberty. In fact, the people actually redefine freedom and liberty in their minds. The only freedom and liberty they are interested in is their particular brand of sexual license, making sure it's legal and not punished by the state." And so this is what is happening in America. They are corrupting the morals of the people through law, policy, and court opinion. We have a government in America that has been at war with Christ and the family for decades now. So it's massively important that you look well to your homes, that you keep relationship with your spouse strong, with your children strong, that you don't look to the state to do everything for you. God established 4 great governments: self-government, family government, church government, and civil government. Each of them has their own role, function, and limits. And right now we live in a statist hell that has invaded family government, invaded self-government. You must be vigilant regarding your homes and regarding your person in order to counter the evil of the statism within our nation.
Mm. Wow. I was reminded when I went to Audubon College, believe it or not, I played basketball for a couple of years. And Kurt Tong, who was a basketball coach, I never forget that one of our meetings with all the basketball players, he said something that has stuck with me throughout my whole life. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Men, are you sitting down? Here's what he told us. Hey, hold your ears, girls. He said, fellas, don't let your Peter rule your life. I never forgot that. And folks, we look across America, our Peter is ruling our life, right? They've legalized everything because we want our Peter to control our life. That's where we are. Come on in, Reggie.
Thanks, Coach. All these are amazing ideas, and I agree with them 100%. But I want to open up a bigger picture here. And so we've had grassroots forever since the beginning of time. We've had these uprisings. And so what people are not really focusing on is the buildings that they're going into to fight against this and to bring, you know, try to use laws and all that. It's great and wonderful. But what I go, this is what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to build up, I guess you would say, firing teams, squadrons that go in. And I know I talked to Stephanie about this. People are afraid to do this. When you go in, if you understood the buildings you're entering into, there are rituals that go on before you guys even show up and have, before that building was even, or right after that building, we have to be gathering together and taking down strongholds. They are summoning powers that are beyond our flesh. So
amen,
they are. Their foot against the goad. And I can't get people to understand this, nor when they start getting into the battle, because all spiritual eyes start to turn towards you.
Reggie, hang on a second. And we've been taught that the church has no influence over that, when the church is the only one that can conquer those demonic spirits.
That's what I keep banging my head against the wall. And I'm like, okay, let's get a group together and let's go sit in this committee and let's fight it. Okay, that's awesome. I'm not putting that down. But you're already lost. And this is why. Even if you go in with Jesus on your lips, there are strongholds there that are bigger than you can even imagine. And those have to be taken down. What happened with the walls of Jericho? That was a symbolism. Yes, it was literal, but it was a symbolism as well. We have got to go back to this. And I keep trying to build this up, and people get hit monetarily. They can't make it. They have an excuse. I don't know what else to do. Maybe God just has a few good men. I don't know. But I know that that's what has to be done. So maybe there needs to be a separate team that goes in before they go in. But something like I've been trying.
Amen. Amen. Listen, Spencer, real quickly, I've had three requests now for that video from Matt Tuella to be put in the chat. Stick that in the chat for us, if you could, real quickly there. Don Voss, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I appreciate everybody's comments this morning. They're all great. With respects to this precinct thing, my son John and I have been working in Wisconsin on these issues, and he and I have been going to the GOP meetings and all that too. But the GOP in Wisconsin have played right into the Democrats as well, and they have abandoned that system entirely. You talk to them, and they act like you're from another planet.
Huh.
You know what I mean? And we are struggling against some wicked things here, too.
So Angie and Candace, we need some training on this. Maybe we need to do a show with some training on how we become more effective. We have an army here, Candace. Angie, we got an army. I'm telling you, we got an army here. We took 156. This little show took 156 people to D.C. We got an army here. And we need to be able to teach and train them. These guys are awake. They're ready to go. We need to teach them, train them, help them mobilize what's already in their heart. That's what we need to do. Come on in, Dale.
Amen, Coach. And a testimony and a word. I was just looking this up, and maybe this will help Reggie. I was thinking about Wilberforce and how long did he fight? How many times did he go to the English Parliament to fight against slavery? It was over 20 years that he kept going back. And I want to tell you something. You keep fighting. Just because you go there and it doesn't seem like that victory at the moment, you keep fighting. And so yesterday, Levi was sick, so he couldn't go to the Capitol up here. And my family couldn't go. But I had three other families from my church that attended in Baton Rouge. And the House and Health Committee, with five Democrats on it, all but two, joined with the Republicans to reject the governor's mandate for our children to get the vaccination. This was a slap in the governor's face when they thought that didn't matter. He would veto it and they would override it. Now he's looking at that they are going to come back and override this guy and take away his emergency privileges. And you know how that happened? As people showed up, Coach, they filled two overflow rooms yesterday.
Yep. Something's going on, folks, because listen, the plane's got two birds, got two wings, and the wings control the plane, but the people are in the middle. The people are in the middle, right? And so we got to wake up and understand that. Naomi, quickly, then Jeff. Hey, folks, so we can get through, okay? Tell us a story, not your life story. Go ahead, Naomi.
So, you know, the Israelites, after they left Egypt and saw all God's provision, they still grumbled and they did not want to do the hard work. Yep. They wanted to go back to slavery because it was what they were comfortable with. Exactly.
Amen. Amen, Naomi. Jeff, come on in then, Betty.
Yeah, I went back to school in 2002 and in college, and a couple of classes I barely passed because I fought against it. It's just amazing. One class, the constitutional class, talk about same-sex marriage, and the textbooks are about to use technical decisions in the court to get what you want.
Because Jeff, we've allowed the left to seize control of everything, and we have no pushback against it. That's what Coach Dave Live's all about. We gotta rise up and push back against these things. Betty and Jill.
Yeah, good morning. I love this show because last Friday I got a call from Fiona Rominski. I don't know if you know her, but she's a field director for the Ohio Republican Party wanting me to join them. And I haven't called her back because I was debating whether to do it or not because I'm so fed up with the Republicans. But I think you guys have just changed my mind. I will give her a call.
Yeah, we need some more coaching, Angie. We need some more coaching. Candace, we need some more coaching. Let's put together a show. We got to do something. We got to do something. Joe, come on, then Mel.
But just like in a Bible, Coach, it's mentioned 365 times, not to fear.
Amen.
And people have this fear, just like what happened with our movement when Obama was in. We had a Tea Party going. What did Obama do? He sicked the IRS on everybody.
Yeah,
so that's a fear people have.
Yeah.
And how to join these kind of groups.
That's right. That's right. Hey, we're just now waking up, man. We're just getting rolling. Mel, come in, then Emma, then Jeff. Mel,
yeah, thanks,
Emma, and Jeff.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, I'm actually part of Andy's Fairfield County group. And I just want to tell you about a meeting that I went to. So I'm really fed up with the Republican Party. And I'm kind of, you know, it needs to be God and country. But I went with a fellow Christian to a commissioner's meeting. And we weren't there to engage with the commissioners. We were there to do imprecatory prayers for the back row.
Wow.
So we were actually kind of doing, you know, prayer coverage, kind of like Reggie's talking about, but during the meeting, because there's a real sense of darkness coming out of those meetings if you have eyes to see it. So, you know, another thing I want to mention is Tom Weiss is a very knowledgeable person who runs think tanks and has been on this Agenda 21 stuff for years, if you're familiar with him.
He's in Newark.
I've heard him speak twice now about freedom pods. And, you know, he lays it all out. And everybody has a different job, kind of depending on what their gifts are. So, you know, you've got, like, watchers and then people who are kind of the speakers. And Angie's familiar with what I'm talking about. But the part that he doesn't include in that is the people that would be praying there, too, or praying in advance, kind of like Reggie's talking about.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
One of the things with the Liberty Action Network that you know, we've been working on this year, and, you know, when you say God and country, everybody agrees with that. But then when you really put God in the first position, you get some people that are uncomfortable with that. So anyway, I think that we're onto something. I think that there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things. I don't think that the answer is purely political, because I don't think anything that we're going to do is going to work unless we have gotten that
moral
position.
It's all moral, folks. We can elect as many Republicans as we want to, and if they're not honest, men of their word, then we're not going to get anywhere. And we know what happens, right? We know they get into the hen house. Nobody really keeps an eye on them, and the next thing you know, they're going around and pardon my French, they're going around there screwing all the chickens. That's exactly what's going on. We put these people in office. We don't keep track of them. They're not men of integrity to begin with. Can I tell you the truth? I consider running for office. You know what I said? I can't do that. I cannot go sit in that room with those uncompromising men. I can't do it. I will either kill them or they will kill me. But maybe it's time that we do that. Uncompromising men and uncompromising women in positions of authority. Hey, folks, the left never compromises. They never compromise, never do. And they bang us and make us think it's Christian to somehow compromise. That's why we get in the mess. Emma, then Jeff.
Boom.
Hey, I just wanted to say what Mel said. We need to undergird it all with prayer, prayer, and prayer. Thank you.
Amen, Emma. Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Usually, going back on that recruiting, usually people either have to be shown the pain or they have to feel the pain before they do anything. Yeah. You know, Pastor Todd and I always talk about that scene in Braveheart when they go into the church and nobody raises their hand and the pastor doesn't even want to go. But then when he feels the pain, when they start to feel the pain, then things change. So I think you got to show it to them in a strong way, kind of like when you hold signs out there at Planned Parenthood and such, you know, you see graphic images. You got to show the pain or are they going to have to feel it?
Jeff, after our freaking kids, for heaven's sakes. What the hell is wrong with us? Myra, come on in.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? I agree with our coach. We are to apply for those positions. I have applied. Honestly, the positions that they're open are working with the Democratic Party. So there's where it lies. But new positions will be opening. Thank you.
Amen. So here's what, when I ran for Congress back in 2010, I was in one of those forums. And they said, Coach, you spent your life as a coach. What qualifies you to for this position? I said, I have a long track history of telling the truth. That's all we need, isn't it? Somebody with a long track history of telling the truth and doing the right thing. What do you mean I don't have any political experience in compromise? Yeah, I'm not very good at that. I admit, I'm not very good at reaching across the aisle. Not very good at that. Jeff, come on in, then Keith.
Coach, I like the idea of bringing in women in because, like, now we're doing these school board meetings. We got Thursday night this week, East Knox, and Monday night, Mount Vernon. We're going again. We got a small group of people, and two or three dozen people in that garage. Now we'll do the central committee and the commissioner meeting and the city.
Come on, man. Come on. Hey, a man without a plan is always at the mercy of the man with a plan. We got to come up with a plan. Keith, come on then, Rochelle. Tell us a story, not your life story. Go.
Yes, sir. Consensus. America has been replaced with consensus.
Yes, it has.
It used to be parliamentary procedures and Robert's Rules of Order. Everything. Yep. They brought it in to rape us all.
That's right. Reaching across the aisles. Consensus. Nope. Doesn't work. Rochelle. Thanks, Keith. Come on in, Rochelle. And Randy.
Good morning, team. So I know you're in a hurry. We don't know the full plan of God. So this system.
How about if we tried to execute it? How about if we tried to execute one?
Wait, yeah. But this system with its pentagram, satanic, Luciferian, witchcraft, divination, maybe that needs to come down, Coach. And maybe
it's like we can't even see it, right?
We need to be alive to rebuild.
The church needs to, right?
Think of both sides.
We look at these symbols, these demonic Luciferian symbols. We say, oh, well, that's just a symbol. No, it's not. It's something bigger than that. They have them up there for a reason. Where's the cross? Walk into Washington, D.C. and look for Jesus Christ. Look for him on any of those walls. Look for him. You don't find him. Randy, then Todd. You muted, Randy. Todd, come on in while Randy gets straightened out.
Hey, am I on there?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I'm reading a really good book right now by Winston Churchill, and something hit me about his life story. We all know what he accomplished during World War II and rallying the Brits. And it made me think right now, we've got to find a way, or I need help finding a way to communicate to others that we have a common enemy. I mean, you know where I work, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
I am surrounded by Christians that have been misled and are believing the lies about the vaccine.
Oh my goodness.
And I have to talk to you after the show about this, but I mean, trying to find a way to communicate to them the truth and get them on board is just, it's mind boggling right now.
Wow. Strong delusion, Todd. Huh?
Yeah. And it's really disturbing that it's throughout the church to the level that it is right now. I mean, it's starting It's divided Christians.
You're strategically placed, brother. You're strategically placed. Don't think you're not.
Yeah, and I need to speak to that Angie. I'm excited to hear more about. I'd love to get involved with this Fairfield County. I'm in Canal.
Amen. Angie, you hearing that? Mel, you hearing that? Let's make that connection.
Hey guys, reach out. My phone number's in there as well. After
show. Okay. Okay. All right. God bless you. God bless you.
Bless you, Todd. Come on in, Randy. Come on in, Leslie. Randy's having trouble getting in here today. Leslie.
Hey, we're talking about all the pentagrams and things like that. How about the name of Jesus? He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and we don't need to give all this attention. I mean, it's good to know our adversaries, but Jesus walked in, people went to him. He spoke the truth. It exposed the lies. Salt and light. We need to start out knowing our authority. We go in a room, we take the kingdom of God, and it changes the atmosphere.
Folks, it's at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Not that the name of God. God this, God this, God this. I said, which God? Which God? Because which God matters, friends? Which God matters? Jesus. That's hard to say. Jesus. It makes people nervous. Amen. It's a dividing point. Jesus. Jesus. Candace, come in.
Well, you have to understand that these Republican parties, they really don't want new Central Committee members. They want everything to stay the same. And so they I had somebody tell me last night at an event, she said, I went to three meetings and I resigned. I can't deal with these people. Well, when you have to have courage comes from God, and you have to have people who understand this is war. We are at war, and you go in with your dukes up and you polite, of course. But you have to have poker face. You got to get the lay of the land. Everybody knows their own county, pretty good. And then you sit there and you learn and you watch and then you take over. That's how you do it. And it can't happen. It happens.
Infiltration. It's how the enemy did it, folks. It's how the enemy did it. Randy, can you get in here now? Tracy, still can't get Randy in. Tracy.
Hey, that Candace is right. I think a lot of people don't want to step into that ring because of the fear of what's going to happen. My son was going to run for school board here this past election, and as soon as he put his name on the docket, they're checking with his work. They do not want him in there because they're lifers, these people have been in there for years and years, and some newbie comes in and I mean they poke at you, and he got out. He's like, I am not ready for this. There's a fear that what's going to happen, what they're going to do to you.
I'm going to make this statement. Public service is in public ever.
You're freezing up, Coach.
That they get. Some of hey, that's just the truth, okay? That's why those guys are career
Dave,
politicians.
Hold on, Dave. Say it again because you cut out.
We didn't hear you.
People run for political office not to serve. They run for political office to rape. Do you understand? You understand? They are not public servants. They're public rapists. Most of them run for political office and stay in there over and over and over. Do you think they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, or are they getting rich and are they getting their palm greased because of the position they hold? They have that influence, and with that influence comes benefits. Randy, can you do it yet?
Amen. Yeah, Coach. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. You're on this, Coach. We are so on the target right here. I just want to say this: all us little people who think we're so little and insignificant, we are the leaders. We are the ones that are getting this together. We have to get out of this mindset where we think nothing's going to happen. We have to become a big like Gideon. He was the least of his tribe, but God chose him. Everyone in this queue is with Gideon. He's chosen. Amen. Stand up in your community and then just see where it goes. You make the beginning of something bigger than you ever dreamed.
Amen. So listen, Candace and Angie, And Mel, let's get together. Let's organize a big training session. Let's call them in from all over Ohio, and let's take them through a training session of how to run for central committee, what the responsibilities are, what's really going on. Our people are destroyed because they just don't know, and they just don't get it. We need to do that. Candace.
We're all over it. Listen, filing deadline's February 2nd. The election for all central committee in Ohio is May 3rd. We can do this. We can do it.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, let's do,
let's
it.
Do it.
Let's do it. Joe Allen.
Well, Coach, the biggest thing is just like we mentioned, or I mentioned about the Tea Party. Look what they sick the FBI on a CRT.
Yep.
The women, the mama bears that are standing up.
Yeah, but hey, Joe. Yeah, but Joe, they can't arrest us all. Some of us are going to have to go to jail. They can't arrest us all, folks. They can't arrest us all.
We're at war, and we need to get big.
Hey, listen, we're in war. We're not at war. We're in war, but we're not at war, and it's time we went to war. God, I got the blood flowing this morning. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.